To start the show, gonna press play.
So Jack Mayo just took a really nice mark, and he's now behind the, what line is that?
50 metre line.
Behind the 50 metre line. He's running up, he's about to, and he kicked it. Where's it going? No, it's not, Sean. That's not a goal. That was out. It's a bit of a disappointing sigh from everyone down here.
So that was Sally having to commentate.
I attempted commentating. I was hoping it was going to be a goal from Jack Mayo so I could, like, raise my pitch and be really exciting, but
I'm glad you didn't do footy commentating for your uni assignment.
Yeah.
Just saying.
What do you think of that, Dane?
That was really good. I could tell exactly what was going on just by listening to it, and I think that's what radio commentary is all about. I knew it was at the 50-metre line. I knew it was Jack Mayo. I think that's really all that mattered.
Yeah.
And I knew he missed. Who was the guy that said where it was?
Harry from Kick It Forward.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he was MC.
Oh, right. Okay, all right.
He was MCing.
He was explaining it.
Yeah. When I said, what line is that? And I was pretty confident it was the 50-metre line. But then I was like, if I say it and it's wrong, that's going to be worse.
And he was like, I have no idea about this game either. So yeah. For him to tell Sally what it is.
But he
don't
did
out him like that.
No, he giggled at me because I didn't know. But
that's funny. Okay. What was he, the MC?
He was MC.
For the Wonderland.
Yeah. He was great. He gave us a plug too, which was nice.
Yeah. Sean said, give us a plug. And he turned around to the crowd. And we actually got a couple of follows off that. I've checked.
Get him to plug it on his podcast.
Yeah, Kick It Forward. He did follow us on the on our Monday Waffle Insta.
That's because I followed him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All
right. Follow.
You're here today with Sean Wakefield, Sally Marshall and Dane Mepham. We're at episode 4, round 4, recapping all things of the two games that happened over the weekend. It was an exciting one for Claremont, not so exciting for West Coast.
Now, I just wanted to play some audio for a little teaser.
Row your life is but a dream. Row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
Yeah, so the Wiggles came
out.
What?
The Wiggles came out with a new, like, electronic EDM soundtrack. So that's the teaser to look forward to later in the ep. You're going to hear that a little bit.
Okay, I just need to preface by saying Sean made such a point of doing some interviews with some footy players that involved this audio, and I had to go and stand by myself far enough away that I couldn't hear anything, but that wasn't what I was expecting. I thought maybe some sort of random.
I'm so confused.
That's the teaser. That's all you got to know so far.
What?
I just wanted to preface that first.
That was just the weirdest transition as well. It's like, all right, enough about that. Now I'm going to show you what's coming up.
Okay. In all things actual footy,
yeah,
a bye for most teams this weekend. Claremont played Subi at Claremont and Peel played Eagles at Optus.
The derby that
them.
We could not go to.
Yep. So if you were tuning into last week's episode where Sean had an elaborate plan to sneak into Optus, watch the Waffle game and then hide until the actual derby, that
and
plan.
I was genuinely going to do it. We messaged a few people, see if this could happen. Turns out it could not happen.
Because one, we couldn't get in with a media pass, but two, it was also a closed game, so not even the public could go.
Pretty well, it just couldn't happen. Yeah, I just couldn't do it.
Basically,
closed
the loopholes so people couldn't get in for free, or they couldn't pay for a Waffle ticket and get into the AFL game. Do you know what that reminded me of? You know how you spoke about Kick It Forward just before?
Yeah.
There's a segment they do with Georgia, his schemes on how to save money and how you can gyp the system. I would argue that going to that level of effort to try and sneak into the AFL game, I think you should actually hit them up and just say, look, this happened. I'd love for you to talk about it because that is...
We're best friends with Harry now,
yeah,
so we can do that.
Well, it's borderline criminal, but also it's like, why not just pay the $80 to go to the AFL game anyway?
Dane, I don't have $80.
She's a student after all.
Yes.
When Centrelink come in?
It's already come in.
Oh, so I got it.
Yeah, I just have to save for Europe.
Oh, you didn't tell them.
Who cares about that?
Stuff Europe. Yeah.
Okay, but I'm going to go see David Guetta, just an FYI. $200 to see David Guetta. I'm titanium.
Dane's a bit under the weather today, so this could be a tough episode for him.
It's the last thing I need.
Okay, Dane, did you attend any games on the weekend?
No, I didn't attend any games because I usually don't, but I've been saving myself for the biggest game of the year, which is coming up.
On Thursday?
Also, by the way, I've attended a lot of games. This is the only week I haven't gone to one because one was closed and the other one was in Claremont.
Well, we did. You could have come hang with us.
We invited you.
Could have, but I had to start preparing myself for something coming up a little bit later. But no, I did get to watch a little bit of both, though, which was good on the AFL app. If you don't know, you can actually stream.
Can I just butt in here? What Dane's referring to is he was doing a shot for every point that West Coast got.
In the AFL.
In the AFL.
No, every point they won by.
And you would have done a lot of those there, Dane.
I loudly claimed that I had so little faith in West Coast to win in the AFL that I would do a shot for every point they won by.
Can I just say, Dane, I feel like you're not a true Eagles fan because you just don't think highly of them.
I feel like you should have made that promise for the waffle game, and then I think you would not be as dusty as you are today.
Well, obviously, in hindsight, that would have been the correct decision, but I gave no faith. And to what you were saying just then, Sian, I would say I'm a greater fan by having such little faith.
No, I don't think so at all. At all.
Why?
Because you don't even have hope for them.
I do have hope. I have lots of hope.
Like, they're saying Jake Wardham at the moment could be, like, one of the best forwards in the...
Okay, wafflers, stop waffling.
Okay. Have you not heard them?
Stop waffling. Okay. Let's bring it back to waffle. We're not an AFL podcast.
Okay, thinking of that, we did have, you know, the waffle derby, so Peel versus Eagles, and Eagles did get thrashed by Peel. And I think it's because Dom Sheed was not in that Eagles team playing, and he should have been.
Should have he been, though? Because he is actually an AFL player.
Well, he was pretty average when he got on the game for like 5 minutes in the AFL. So I think if he was in the waffle team...
You're not sounding like a true fan, Sian.
Yeah,
that sounds very... There's no hope in that.
He was subbed in for 5 minutes and subbed out. That's not real.
You're trying to cheat the system by putting an AFL player in a waffle game.
Well, maybe he just should be a waffle team player.
No. What was your analysis on that?
Yeah, look, so I think West Coast last week, despite how good they were, maybe overperformed slightly. I think, as I said throughout the year, I think they are going to be competitive. But, well, even Tim Flagg, Peel are actually really good. And I think they're just going to keep winning a lot of games. And West Coast, despite beating East Freo, who have been a little bit off to start the year, a bit up and down, I think it was probably due to, yes, Sheed and Liam Ryan and et cetera, just played really well. I don't think that's going to be the norm for West Coast. But Peel... I can't say I didn't see that coming.
Do you think we'll be seeing Peel in the final again this year?
I think they'll definitely make finals. Mm. I don't know how they'll... It's
still early days.
As you say, it is dependent because even though Freo have lost their first three in the AFL, let's say that Freo make finals, I would say that has a big impact on how Peel go because I'd suggest that a lot of the Peel guys, the good Peel players who are Freo listed, will be taken up at different points. Mm. But if Freo don't, then I'd suspect Peel probably have a good run at it like they did last year.
Just quickly, we didn't actually mention the score. It was 55 for Eagles and 123 for Peel. So that is a huge margin. They had 18 goals for Peel and Eagles had 7 goals. So that's pretty hefty.
Yeah. Yeah, big win for Peel. And I think that makes sense. They are, well, they're the second best team last year and they haven't really done anything that would change that. So I think basically one of the best versus one of the worst. And I think it reflected pretty nicely where both teams are at. Although that doesn't mean that there wasn't shining lights for West Coast because...
Jack Hulley got a goal.
Yeah, some of the young players are starting to get good, having a bit of depth, especially with the AFL side being more competitive now.
Archie Reid, was that his debut as well?
Yeah, he played his first game, so he needs an opportunity. But like even Liam Ryan, who didn't have a lot in terms of stats, but from what I saw was pretty dominant. I think he's not playing much game time though. And
great defender though. From what we're seeing.
Yeah.
Which he normally, again, like we said last week, he normally isn't a defender.
He creates a lot, yeah. And I like it. Jermaine Jones was kind of the same and Gaff maybe struggled a little bit more this week. But they just weren't probably as good as they...
No, but that's okay.
Well, last week, but that's going to happen.
But there was just so many goals. Like a couple, I think 6 of them got 2 goals at least for Peel. So that's pretty insane.
Yeah, so for Peel's side, like Cooper Simpson and Patrick Voss are both AFL-listed guys. Voss, I think, has had a lot of calls. He's a key forward for Freo. I think he'll be a chance to go up, which, again, what we're speaking on, if he's kicking 2 or 3 goals a game, that takes out of what Peel have on offer up forward. So they probably, again, are going to be dependent on who they've actually got week to week is how they perform. Not that they can't kick a winning score, but guys like that are going to be a big reason why they're winning a lot. So they'll be just a bit volatile with their performance, I think. But then again, you know, Will Brody and stuff doesn't look like he's getting a chance anytime soon. Heath Chapman.
His first goal, I think, as well. First or second.
Maybe for the year, yeah. Well, like, Heath Chapman's still down there. I don't know. The fact that they're losing makes me think that they'll do a big change in the AFL side, which might affect Peel a little bit. But
yeah. Anyway, so we also went, Sally and I, like we mentioned, we went to the Claremont and Subi game. Sally, what did you analyse there as a novice footy analysis?
Well, I just also think I need to declare that in episode 2 when I said my football knowledge is limited, I actually take that back.
Oh.
I'm just putting it out there. I think.
Right. What is it now?
Show us.
Well, not just because of this game, but I had quite a couple of discussions with my parents last night about footy and I they were kind of a bit taken aback. Anyway, Claremont had their first win this year with a win against Subiaco, 78-57. And they won after their worst start to the year, which hasn't been that bad since 2015. They didn't have their skipper, Declan Mountford, because he did a hamstring. So Ollie Eastland was stepping in instead.
Oh, not Jared Bolton. He's the vice-captain.
I don't know. This is just according to my readings.
Mm, nice. Anyway, continue.
Although, Google that one. Fact check me. I could be wrong.
Anyway, continue. Yeah, doesn't really matter.
Apparently Ollie Eastland stepped in, but he was, yeah.
Apparently he is the ruck of
I was
the
about
comp.
To say, he was dominating in the ruck from the first tap. Pew!
Pew!
Yep, so there were some pretty good goals from their side. Alex Manuel with 3, Alec Waterman with 3, Oliver Eastland with 2, Kieran Gowdy with 2, he's a tall man, and Jack Musica with 1. So he actually was playing his second game this weekend after he debuted last week, which was really nice for him to get a goal.
Good work, Jack. Well done.
Well
goal
done,
and a win.
Yeah.
You. Sorry.
Zach Mangwaring, Sean's fave, did his knee in the first. What was that for?
That was a wrong, like a down, shame.
Zach Mangwaring did his knee in the first half, so he sort of took to the ground and hobbled off. Did not look good, and we did not see him back on the field.
No, he didn't.
He came back dressed in his pants and nice shirt.
and that's the important takeaway.
That is
what he came
profesh.
Back dressed in.
He was gone.
Things can't be that bad. If he can get into his pants, his knee's obviously all right.
Yeah. Subiaco started well, kicked the first 2 goals, and they did dominate possessions quite early. They didn't have Sokol.
No, they didn't.
Yes,
but Greg Clark and Kitchen did not play their best game at all. I think Greg Clark was a little preoccupied.
There was a lot of fighting, like a lot.
Why do you think that is?
There's a bit of a rivalry, I have been told, with Subi versus Claremont. Apparently, every game there is always lots of fighting.
Well, I won't name names, but one was straddling another on the ground for
it was
way too long.
While the game was
still going.
Yeah.
Wow.
And on the boundary, we're closest to the audience as well.
What do you mean by straddling?
I mean full on,
on the ground. Yeah.
like that.
On top of him.
Like the
straddling.
Legs were like this.
Like a horse.
It was like that.
You sure that was a fight?
Anyway.
Okay,
Borscht got
good.
2 goals. Jack Mayo also got 2 goals. They were consecutive goals, so that's nice, but not including the goal.
Friend of the pod, Jack Mayo.
Yeah. Jackie Mayo, apparently.
Put a lot of mayo on his 2 goals.
Yeah, I did. So I was in the commentator's box for the first half of the game with SEN. Shout out there. Thanks for that. And they were saying that they're calling him Jackie Mayo.
Jackie.
Is like a waffle Dusty Martin. Like, he just gets the ball and he just kicks it.
As
always.
In, like, is he,
really?
Is he a bit of a silent operator? I feel like that's Dusty. He's a bit of a...
He gets the ball and kicks it.
As we discussed episode 2, that's...
How on earth did Subi lose?
Because they just weren't on their top of their game. But they were also doing a lot of hand passes. They were loving the Collingwood style, which I don't think that they've done quite often. So that was interesting.
Yeah, that doesn't look like it would be a recipe for a good win for Subi.
No, clearly not.
Hand passing like that.
Trying to be like the AFL. But I did just want to say, I think Claremont did so well because their midfielders and halfbacks were just grabbing the ball and just belting it. Like Joel Wesson, insane. He was just getting out of the contest and running. Same with Frederick and Jai Bolton. I think for them, that was what set them up to keep getting
goals.
DeLacy
played really well as well.
Sure.
I was just adding, I was contributing. So. Franceschini, who plays for Subi, also got one goal. So did Morgan and so did Robbins.
Yes, and Robbins as well. Running. He was a gun. He had lots of running there for him.
Lots of running.
Yeah.
That's a phrase that you quite like, Sean.
Oh.
I interviewed Alec Waterman. He had a game. Let's have a listen. Your first win of the season as a Claremont Tigers. How's it feel?
Yeah, it was really good. I had a couple of pretty close losses to start the year, which disappointing, but you can't really read too much into them. You just got to keep going. And today was one of those days and we got it done.
Yeah, and you were on a pretty tall defender. How did you manage to still get the ball and kick three goals?
Yeah, I don't know. Constant movement. We got our hands on the footy in the middle, which is really important. And we gave our forwards first look, which is all a forward wants. And yeah, size doesn't really matter when it's coming in like that. So, but yeah, all of our forwards are really good. So.
Yeah, and what else do you think changed from losing to winning this game?
Probably that is getting our hands on the footy. The first few weeks we've been pretty average at it. Teams have been beating us up around the ball, and that was something our boys went to work at, and they responded really well today, and that just means the ball lives in your half of the ground more than it doesn't.
Good. So that was my interview with Alec Waterman.
Is that Waterman, the bit I wasn't allowed to hear?
No.
Is he related to Jake by any chance?
He is. So I did really want to ask him this too, be like, mate, you scored three goals. Jake Waterman scored six the week before. Are you guys just like practicing together? He even did some like good snap kicks that missed. But you know what? Doing well. Kicking goals must just run in the family.
Well, apparently his dad's a really famous footballer. Was.
I was going to say that, but I mean, both guys had, well, Jake's still in the AFL, but Alec had a reasonable long AFL career, although he had, I think it was glandular fever that kept him out for, and quite chronic fatigue or something that kept him out for a couple of years, which is a shame because I think he had probably a pretty promising AFL career anyway, but it's been cut short. There's probably no chance of really going back in.
It would suck, though, for the Eagles W team that they've lost Alec Waterman, because I think he was just a steal to have in that team, but I think they couldn't keep him due to salary capping and stuff.
Yeah, well, he's a really good player. Yeah. Like, I dare I say he's probably better than
literally a lot of them. But
he might be slightly better than this level, but
yeah, big love to Alec Waterman there.
Yeah, no,
he was a nice man.
He was lovely. But so on that note, I also interviewed Ollie Sheldrick about the team. Your first win, how good?
Yeah, no, it was great to get a win, especially coming off a few losses. It definitely feels good to get a win, especially in front of the home crowd.
Can you tell me what's been different?
I don't know. The vibe's been good around the club this week, so I reckon that's picked it up a bit.
Your vibes. Sorry, not your playing, it's your vibes that have been better.
Vibes and then transfers into the playing, I reckon.
Yeah, so you didn't have good vibes then the previous three rounds that you had.
Vibes are hard to come by when you're losing, but we're trying to build it, and then I think it came to fruition this week.
Shouldn't vibes be there from the start of the game?
Yeah, they should, but it's not always a perfect world.
No, it's not. I don't really know what that was, to be honest. But thanks, Ollie, for that.
Good call from him. Yeah, well, he's not wrong. The vibes were down. Ollie's obviously brother of Angus Sheldrick at Sydney, isn't he?
Can we confirm that before we just assume?
I'm making the assumption because I think that's correct. Yeah, no, the vibes were bad for Claremont the last...
Clearly.
They weren't even bad to start the year. They obviously had two close losses, and obviously getting their first win will be good. They're a good team. They obviously were finished pretty strong to last year. They didn't make a... I think it's called a semi-final the week before the prelim to get into the grandy, which they lost and got knocked out. But I'm surprised. They had two close losses by less than a goal, and they had one absolute belting from East Freo. So I'm not surprised that they've came back and got a win. But it just, as I said... The ladder is just really quite close.
I just don't understand how, like, it was just the vibes. Like, I don't know. I just thought, you know, maybe they played a bit differently. Would it be?
I don't know. Like, I feel like if you lose close ones, like, you're annoyed that you lost, but I don't think you can be too you'd be disappointed at losing, but you're not annoyed with the way you play. And I think they probably just, as Zach said a few weeks ago, they probably just had quiet confidence that they still were quite good and they could beat teams. And then we're lucky that they all turned it on in one day.
Look, they'll probably be firing now, so...
Sometimes that's all you need.
The vibes are up.
Sometimes that's all you need. Just like one good win and then you're off.
You need a vibe check.
So then I did interview the boys some other things. So Alec Waterman and Ollie, a few other things too. What is your pre-game pump-up song?
Zach Mainwaring's in charge of tunes, and he usually gets a bit of doof-doof going. It's pretty heavy stuff, a bit of techno. There's no single song, but yeah, that's usually the genre he goes for.
Well, I think I've got some new techno doof-doof music for you. Do you want to have a listen?
Sure.
I think you should have for your new pump-up song.
Oh, really? Tell Manny and he'll play it next time, I reckon.
Yeah, awesome. And what's your pre-game pump-up song?
I don't really have one. Whatever Zach Mainwaring puts on, whatever he puts on, could be anything.
Yeah, I've been told he is the DJ, so I did give him a bit of a word, and I thought I would just show you what song I told him to put on the playlist. What are your thoughts?
Track, but probably not for footy. For footy pump up, but no. Track. Really good.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, so I've heard you're the DJ. Heard there was a bit of electronic EDM kind of vibes.
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah, so I actually have a song to add to this playlist. Do you want to have a hear?
Yeah.
So, what do you think of that one?
Strange one. I'll have to have a think about it.
Yeah?
So, I'm not sure the boys... get too hyped up about that one.
Pre-game vibes.
I don't think so, but I can run it past him and let you know if that's what you're asking for.
There's no hard yeses in that. That was all a palm off. Isn't that how the world works when you don't want to?
That's the biggest deflect I've ever heard.
Yeah. You want to tell someone no, so you just palm it off to I'll run it by and we'll see what happens and I don't know, Sean. That
a bit deflated there.
I don't know.
I think Sean was expecting more of a response, but
to be fair, what kind of response do
for
you really
for the second
expect
time, no words.
Well, what are you going to say? Oh, yeah, love that.
Yeah.
Got to put that
I guess
in.
So.
Yeah, I don't know.
Alec Waterman did say it was a track, so...
Yeah, it's a track.
Not
it exists.
The track.
It's a song that exists, I think, is what he was trying to say.
I don't know, mate. I reckon it's going to be on the D floor at Hippie sometime soon. Just saying.
Oh, lucky no one goes there.
What do you mean? All the Subi boys go there.
Oh, well, poor
Jake
blokes.
Waterman has also been there too, so maybe Alec will be there as well.
There's always a bit of a line there now.
So we enjoyed the Wiggles?
No.
No.
No, all sorry. Right. So what we've got coming up now is a little chat we have with Nathan Wilson from Peel Thunder, who's, obviously former Fremantle Docker and GWS Giant, now turned Peel. Well, he used to play as a defender, and now he's sort of turned himself around. He's kicking a lot of goals because, in terms of leading goal kicker, he's actually on top for the Waffle, which is interesting. He played off halfback flank, so I think we can quiz him about that. And just how he thinks Peel are going, because they're going pretty strong. So we're here with Peel forward now, Nathan Wilson.
So, Nathan, how's it going now that you're at the top of the ladder?
Obviously it's going well. The boys been playing well the first couple of rounds, so it's been good. It's great to get back onto Optus on the weekend and beat the Eagles, and the boys take a lot of confidence out of that.
Yeah, so obviously we know there's obviously the AFL rivalry between the Freo and the Eagles. Does that filter down into the Waffle with you guys?
We spoke about that a little bit. I guess it does because we're two AFL listed teams, but not as big as the Derby. But yeah, we spoke about, like I said, a little bit before the game and what it means.
When you talked about having AFL listed guys, how does that go with sort of the dynamic of the team from your point of view when guys go up and down? Or do you think everyone sort of fits in pretty well if they've dropped from AFL or if they go up?
Yeah, to be honest, I've experienced the last couple of years when myself I've been dropped at AFL and then come down to the Waffle. It's not really much of a difference. It's still the same system. And, yeah, you've noticed that last year we made a grand final to get beat. So, obviously, the system's there. And then the start of this year as well with a young crew coming through. And, so we're sitting on top, which is great. And, like I said before, a bit of confidence out of the young boys.
That's good. So, last year, obviously, going down in the grand final, do you think... You guys obviously are a pretty good side and not much has changed from last year in terms of your list. Have you set your goal to go one better or are you happy just to see how things play out throughout the year?
happy to see how it plays out, but I guess you play footy to win and win a premiership. That's what everyone's playing, I'm guessing, for. So, yeah, if we could go one better, it would be nice.
Yeah, and obviously you were a defender to begin with. How's that transition been from defender to forward?
Yeah, it's been good. Something different. It's been, different in a way of I'm not chasing someone around all the time, which is great. And, yeah, like you said, defender for 12 years in the AFL, and I thought I'd want to change it up. So Reedy and the coaching staff down at Peel being great to me for changing it up, and, yeah, it's been great.
Do you feel like there's more pressure being a forward than being a defender?
Not really. I think I sleep pretty well being a forward rather than defender chasing around all the nippy forwards. So no goals kicked on you, which is a bit better. But I've been liking it. It's been great.
So you've obviously heard Will Schofield saying defenders win championships. Do you think that that's true, being both defender and forward?
I'm a forward now, so I think goals win championships. But if I was a defender, I'd be saying the same as what Sky would be saying.
Because he's not just kicking goals. Something that might be worth mentioning, Sean, is he's actually the leading goal kicker in the Waffle, or joint with two others, but still he is the leading goal kicker in the Waffle at the moment. Do you think that your training as a defender has helped you sort of learn how defenders work and how you can get off them, or are you just playing on a high?
A bit of both, to be honest. Yeah, a bit of a high at the moment, but it's more, trying not to stay still. I know if you just, as a forward, you stay still, it's easy to defend. So I always knew that when I was a defender, and yeah, trying to keep on the move as much as possible.
So Nathan, what do you do outside of footy?
So I've just started work at Commonwealth Bay, where I went to school. They've got a footy program there. So just starting a little bit of casual there, and then should hopefully go into a full-time role soon. So, yeah, it's something different, and it's been great. And being picked up when I was a 17-year-old, I haven't really had to work outside of football. So, yeah, it's been a bit different, but, yeah, it's been great.
It's a bit of a bonus doing something you love. And is it true that you have a couple of kids?
Yes, I've got two myself, yep.
Go and have a little kick with the footy with them on the weekend?
So they didn't come to Optus because it's a bit hard with the kids, but they love getting down to Mandra and watching Dad play, and it's a bit easy with the grass hill, and they love it. So, yeah, it's great.
Are they aspiring to be like you one day?
Maybe. I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see, but he does love his footy, so... Yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, beautiful. And Nathan, before we let you go, from a Peel point of view, is there anyone we should be keeping an eye on sand overnight, or
maybe yourself even?
Yeah, could be.
No chance. I'd always say Ben Hancock, as a captain. I think he's just reliable day in, day out. And obviously Brady Gray, who's been in great form to start the season as well. So they're two to keep an eye on, I would have thought.
Great. Well, Nathan, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck for the rest of the season. We'll hope for you guys' sake you continue the strong form and can go one better.
All right. Thanks for that, everyone. Cheers.
Nathan Wilson there from Peel Thunder, and he's kicking a lot of goals at the moment, which is exciting for him.
So Nathan obviously just mentioned Brady Gray, and I've just got the media release match review through from the Waffle, and it actually looks like Brady Gray was charged for carelessly making contact with an umpire in the round 4 Waffle match against West Coast, and the base sanction, one match.
That's harsh. That'll be a big hit.
Do you want me to tell you the other sanction?
Yeah, go through them.
Subiaco player Galen Savagini was reported for engaging in rough conduct against an opponent in the Claremont game.
Ooh.
After reviewing all the available evidence, the match review panel has withdrawn the charge.
You did say it was a dirty game.
Yeah.
It was a dirty game. It was to the point where the little boys that I interviewed were like, oh my God, the fighting.
Yeah.
It was dirty.
I love a few fights.
Do you, Dave?
Yeah.
I do. It's bands. It's great fun. Yeah. I felt illegal filming it, but I was like, I need the content.
Well, I don't like to be
boys,
in it,
just keep it civil, you know?
Let's keep it PG.
I prefer to watch it than be in it, but
yeah. You're also like condoning fighting a little bit, which isn't great.
Anyway, moving on to round 5. There's 3 games being played this weekend, one of which is on Anzac Day.
Yeah, and which we're all going to, hey?
Yeah, we're all going to be down there and going for a pub feed afterwards, I reckon.
Dane, you've got something special on though, don't you?
No, I don't have anything special on.
You got the president lunch on or something?
Yeah, I was just making that up.
Dane, I thought you were generally
like...
Are you
coming with us then?
Member.
I'm going. And I'll be doing a shot for every point that Perth win by.
Why don't we all do that? That's kind of fun.
That could be
nice. Can we join your little group?
If you'd like to, if you can handle it.
yeah, we could handle it.
Could be 70 or 80 shots, but I'm hoping Perth win because I always hope that the Demons win. But I think it will be a good game, actually. Perth at Mineral Resources actually now, over the last few years, win more than they lose there, which is an interesting little thing. Yeah, so maybe the home ground advantage. They know how to play it down at Lathlane. But East Perth, of course, we're on top of the ladder for the first three rounds.
And so, can I just chuck out that it is Anzac Day and the Waffle were promoting, come along and buy a beer for a veteran. There will be veterans down there celebrating the game, so I think that'll be a really sweet little touch.
Yep, Thursday night, 4:10, if you're not doing anything after the Collingwood.
It's also Waffle game. Wonderland down there that weekend.
Yep.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, be good. So it's straight after the AFL game, so people stay home and watch that and they can go down to Lathlane. I think it will be a good one. But it's not just that, though. Obviously, on Saturday, we've got two other games, West Perth and South Freo.
Yep.
Pentarnet.
5 minutes from me, that so might just chuck a little jog there.
That might be a good one. And then Swans and East Freo could be interesting as well out at Steel Blue, which is in Bassendean.
Swans lost their recent game, didn't they? So it would be nice for them to have a cheeky win.
Well, it's interesting that we say that because East Freo desperately need this one, I think, because despite having basically the highest percentage of any team in the comp, they are on bottom of the ladder. That, of course, actually is a little bit misleading because they have not got any points in terms of ladder positioning points because they had a little bit of a
salary cap issue.
Penalty on some salary cap stuff. But keep watch. Even though they lost to the Eagles, they are still really good.
And you know what? I would love to get Milan Murdoch on here because I still have questions about which cologne he chose.
Yeah.
So I hope
But also, it would be nice for Sondre Sticks to win.
Yeah,
they haven't
of
won
course.
Yet, you know?
No, they have. Every team's got to win.
Yeah.
So wrong.
I would say, I would say it's the closest waffle. I have to confirm it, but it's the closest waffle ladder I've ever seen for sure. I would love to know when
it's a bit exciting.
The last time every team had a win was, or the earliest that every team had a win was. Maybe we can chase that up for next week because, you know, it's actually two wins that separate first and last pretty much. All right, but I reckon we can wrap it up. If you are down at the Perth Demons game on Thursday, come and say good day to me. You'll know it from the...
Or Sally
the
and
drunk,
I too.
Well, you're not going to be the drunk idiot yelling from the sidelines. I shouldn't say I'm doing that, but come say hello. We'll try.
Maybe
and
we'll get some audio of that too to chuck it in for next week.
Oh, we're getting Dane giving us a game analysis.
Oh yeah, yeah. Bit
while
of commentary.
We're down there, a bit of live action.
Happy to do so. And yeah, before we go, I do want to give a shout out. Luckily, had some good feedback from some listeners, and in particular, some of these listeners are involved in Waffle System, or they may be future Waffle players. But this is the ones we got. So I want to give a shout out to the Trinity College Second 18 for their big win on the weekend by winning by 218-7, and then congrats to Noah on his 7 goals, maybe a future league star. 218-7.
How does that even happen?
Does that even qualify as a win?
I feel like at that point you probably put the cue in the rack, but I guess you could keep the foot on the throat.
We draw half time, be like, we're just done.
So congratulations to them. Obviously, stout listeners because they felt the need to tell us about it. I'm very happy to hear. Well, to be honest, probably a lot of them will go on and play Colts or something. I'm glad that some younger fellas are getting around it because realistically, if we're being serious, the Waffle System is the lifeblood of football in WA. It controls everything that is played pretty much. And I think at some point, if you play football in Western Australia, you do have to have some sort of affiliation with Waffle just about. And
yeah,
I think it's good that those boys are interested and keen to continue on as
the
next generation.
Bless them.
Yeah, lovely. Well, thanks for that.
And also, I think they're just full of themselves and they want to hear their names. I'm only giving one shout out to Noah for his 7. The rest of them, good team effort, boys.
Anyway, thank you so much for joining us. That was episode 4, round 4 of the Monday Waffle. We'll be back in your ears next week for all things round 5. Stay up.
Goodbye.
Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.